Good morning. I'd ask that you would please remember to pray for the three people that were killed recently here on I-79. I have their names here. I'll have to get them for you. But Rhonda Malone, which was the chaperone, and then two students at Cannonsburg High School, which was Brianna Africa and Faith Dowler. They were killed on I-79 in a traffic accident, and it was at exit 124. And so they went to Central Assembly of God, and were going to a conference. So please join me in praying for them. It's got to be tough time right now for them as far as their those families and the church. What a loss. And we hate to hear when that kind of thing happens. And it was a truck coming from the opposite direction, coming down 79. I don't remember which one was going north and which one was going south, but it crossed over and to their path and hit them. So please pray for them. Join me in prayer today as we remember our people. Let's pray. Father God, as we think about all the good things that you bring about, there is tragedy in this world that is tough to handle, tough to experience, impossible to understand and explain away. We ask, Lord, that you'd be with those families. We know that the hope of Jesus is in them. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the comfort that we can receive that's beyond understanding, that will guard our hearts and minds. So when things like this happen today, Lord, we ask for your help for them. We pray for our church, your church, our church sister down the road here, Central Assembly, and just ask for them that you'd be with their pastors and their volunteers and staff this morning as they speak to the youth. Pray, Lord, for your help for them. I'm sure that they're looking for comfort and some help from their pastors and ministering from their family and friends. So we pray, Lord, that the body of Christ would show itself strong and the Holy Spirit would do ministry that we can't do, that healing would be brought upon and the tears, Lord, would be dried by the cheeks of others who are caring and loving for these families. We thank you, Lord, for today's message. As we think about September the 11th, we certainly know that evil exists. We know that that sin nature is inside of all of us, and that we must come to Jesus Christ for our salvation, for the forgiveness of sins. And may the power of the gospel be going out all the time today as we look at a king who prays in the midst of fear. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to understand how we are to respond as we are walking this walk with our country, as our country is on edge. We pray, Lord, for your help for each one out there, that we would be a part of what your plan is, which is found in today's scripture, which is to pray, to know our Bibles, to encourage people in the faith, and to worship you with praise and honor and glory, that the battle belongs to you and that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the dark side of life, the spiritual forces that are unseen. We pray now, Lord, that you'd help us to see this, that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world, that you've given us prayer and you've given us praise, and there is power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in the gospel, there's power in the blood of Christ, wash away our sins and to heal. We ask, Lord, for your help. You give us wisdom as we ask for your help for finding a new leader for our country and choosing that leader, and whoever that leader may be, that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them a fear of yourself, that they would have a respect for you, and that they would seek your face as Jehoshaphat does in this picture today from the scriptures. Lord, have mercy on our country and pray for your help for us as we try to spread the gospel into all the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, how do we not think of what we're facing today with what seems to be like evil seems to be all around us? And you see stories of people being scared at airports, and there's nothing that's actually happened, that it was just a noise. And then all of a sudden you've got this group of people running in fear. And so as we look at this today, as we are changed forever because of 9-11, 9-11 changed the way our country thinks. I remember, I don't know if you remember where you were at, but 9/11, we were on a beach in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. We didn't even know what had happened. We were sitting there, and I saw this dark thing coming up this coastline, and it was streaking up through there and moving in a weird direction, what almost seemed like in an L or a Z shape. And what it was is one of our fighter jets heading up towards Boston and New York area. And it was just an amazing thing because I could not get the camera out fast enough to get it on video, because I'm telling you, it catches your attention, and it moves so fast that it looked like it was moving in a straight line like this. You know, not like banking or anything like that. It was just like, it was moving very fast. And had no clue why or anything. So we went in, I had to go get the car, we were going to go to lunch. And then I turned on the TV because I knew my family would be taking forever to get off the beach. And I turned on the TV to watch the TV a little bit. And that's when I saw the first building. And then the second building being plowed into. And then I knew why. I knew what was going on after that. And we were in an area where a lot of people from New York vacation. And they shut down all the airports. There was a family there getting ready to have a wedding. And they could not get their bridal party to where they were at because the airports were shut down. Everybody was coming. It was a destination wedding. Everybody was coming in town. And so all their plans could not be achieved that day. And then there was people coming out just talking openly and saying, we had friends in that building. And Melissa actually graduated with somebody that was on the 106th floor on the first tower that was hit, and she didn't make it out. And then we saw the newscast, of course, of all the people searching for answers and searching for their family and being willing to pray with people. And the churches filled up for a while. And then we kind of went back to our routines. And now here we are today at the 15th anniversary, and we think about it. I didn't put any pictures up because I don't know. I just didn't want to put any images up to focus our minds on today, but I do want us to focus on the people and our faith and how it carries us through the day for these kinds of things, that we need to look to God. And here in our passage today, the text is very helpful. As Pete said, when we're looking for strength, when fear comes knocking at your door, when trouble comes to your doorstep and knocks, how do you handle that? What do you do? And I think that we have an excellent example here in Jehoshaphat, the king. And if you look at Jehoshaphat, if you go back, if you have time, go back and read around 17 in verse 6. It says his heart was courageous. He's a king, and his heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. And furthermore, this is chapter 17, verse 6. And furthermore, he took the high place and the Asherim out of Judah. In verse 10, it says, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdom of the lands that were around Judah, and they made no war against Jehoshaphat. And we see his life coming. And in chapter 19, he is bringing the people back to the Lord. It says in verse 4 in chapter 19, Jehoshaphat lived at Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. He appointed judges in the land and all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and he said to the judges, consider what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord, and he is with you in giving judgment. Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you, and be careful what you do, for there is no injustice with the Lord our God, or partiality, or taking bribes. It's interesting, because he has to say it. Apparently, it was bad enough that he had to tell them not to take bribes, right? And so, as we see in our book, in our Bibles, the word of the Lord is very relevant to us today, that we need judges who will judge justly and who fear the Lord, and that they judge not for just man, but they also judge for the Lord, and that there's no impartiality with God, and that in verse 8 there he says, moreover, in Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat appointed certain Levites and priests and heads of families of Israel to give judgment for the Lord and to decide disputed cases. And they had their seat at Jerusalem. And he charged them. And thus you shall do in the fear of the Lord, in faithfulness and with your whole heart. Whenever a case comes to you from your brothers who live in their cities concerning bloodshed, law, or commandments, statutes, or rules, then you shall warn them that they may not incur guilt before the Lord, and wrath may not come upon you and your brothers. And then you shall do, and your will not incur guilt. And behold, Amariah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebediah the son of Ishmael, the governor of the house of Judah, in the king's matters, and the Levites will serve you as officers. Deal courageously, and may the Lord be with you, be with the upright. Isn't that what we need in our communities, in our judges, in our county seats, and in different places? We need leaders who will deal justly, deal courageously. And we need our law, our courts, and we need law and order. And God wants us to have that. And you see here a king that's trying to do the right thing. And it says there in verse chapter 20, verse 1, after the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. He was doing the right thing. Remember? He's doing the right thing. And then trouble comes knocking. And some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom and from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazon Tamar, that in Engedi. That is in Engedi. And then Jehoshaphat was afraid. The king's afraid now. He set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord from all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. So number one, we already got number one. When we look for finding strength, I want you to notice that King Jehoshaphat is setting the tone. It's important for a leader to set the tone. And he sets his face towards seeking the Lord. It's helpful when we have a leader who sets his face towards seeking the Lord. And he sets the tone for the entire nation. You notice he's been going around and setting all this stuff up. And the foundations of the community were based on what the Lord had set up. And I want you to see that because after all, I don't know about you, but you've ever thought and maybe wondered, does it really matter if we have God in our schools, or does it really matter if we have God in our communities? Does it really matter if God if a football team prays and recognizes God? Does it matter? I believe it does. I think Jehoshaphat sets the tone here, and that as his people, we can learn when it comes to our role that we can set the tone very easily because it doesn't take much to say, well, let's pray about this. Before we do anything, let's pray about it. And he's afraid. He's afraid. He's fearful. And he in spite of his faith, in spite of his strength in the Lord, he's afraid. He's got this vast army outside his door. He's got this multitude of people coming to harm them. So it's a serious fear. And what do we do when we're afraid like this? I admire Jehoshaphat. I love his name, first of all, but I really admire his character. He seeks the Lord. He sets his face to seek the Lord, and he calls his people to help him, to fast and to pray. Well, this is kind of contextual and trying to set the tone here, and I want you to see that he has a big impact on his people. Just the leader going out. I remember when George Bush went to pray, and they showed them all sitting there praying in the house of God. It sets the tone. I'm not talking about he had an R or D in front of his name. That's not what I'm trying to win you to. But we need a leader who will pray and set the tone and seek the face of God. He or she. Secondly, notice that he calls the people. He involves the people in his decisions. He's afraid, and he's not afraid to open it up to the people. So when we're finding strength, when fear comes knocking, set the tone and seek the Lord. That's easy to remember. Secondly, one of the things that I notice is Jehoshaphat leads with conviction. He leads with conviction. Now, I want to say that he also leads with example. It says there in verse 4, and Judah assembled. So the people responded. They assembled to seek help in verse 4. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Adrian Rogers says prayer was not the last resort, but their first resource. We need to pray with purpose. We need to lead with conviction. And why do I say he leads with conviction? Look what he does. He sets the tone, he seeks the Lord, and he calls the people to pray and fast. And he prays with purpose. In verse 5, it says, where is he standing at? He's standing in the assembly. He's amongst the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And it says that he stood in the assembly in verse 5 of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Now, what I want to say is that it's important to see our leader in the house of God. It sets the tone. It's leading from conviction. Conviction is not, it's something that's in you. It's something that you will not go away from. I mean, there's a vast army outside. I would have been tempted to get the bows and arrows out and start shooting. Wouldn't you? I mean, that's what your normal response is. But here we have a leader. He's leading with conviction. He goes to the house of the Lord. This is the king. This isn't the priest or the pastor or this is the king. This is the leader of the country. It's awesome. I find it awesome. And he says something in his prayers, and the way to remember him is, are you not, did you not, and will you not? Verse 6. Look at verse 6. And he says to the Lord, our God, our fathers, in his prayer, are you not the God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so none is able to withstand you. He's reminding them in the corporate prayer of God is the king. He's the ruler over all of the kingdom of the nations. That he is the God in heaven. He's the one that created this universe that we live in. He's the one that holds all things together in Colossians. I heard the other day a pastor talking about how big our sun is and how many earths can fit inside the sun. That's how big it is. It's like an incredible amount of. Go look it up. And then go look up the size of Betelgeuse. It's as big as our galaxy. It's huge. And all this stuff holds together. I think that it's interesting. We get when it says the God of heaven, what's so big about the God of heaven? He is big. The breath of his hand. His footsteps are in the sea. He walks in the sea. It's no big deal. Earth is his footstool. These are scripture references to God. I think it's really cool that Jehoshaphat reminds them in the prayer. Would that come to you when you're praying, the God of heavens, the God that rules the nations? Would that come to you in your prayer time to give adoration first to God in the house of the Lord? He's standing there. And he's before the people, and it just comes out of him. It's in him. It's already in him. He'd been going around carrying the word of the Lord. If you read, go back in chapter 17, 18, 19, he's carrying the word of the Lord to the people, and it's important to him to set all this stuff up. He has conviction, and he also prays with purpose. Now, we need to move on, but I think it's very interesting. Did you not? That was and you not. Did you not? Did you not? He recalls God's past protection of his people in verse 7. He says, drive out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend. And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before the house and before you and before your name is in this house and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. I think it's important for us to see that. Are you not? Did you not? Did you not do these things? He recalls God's past protection of the people. And then will you not? Will you not execute judgment? Verse 12. Will you not execute, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? Isn't that what we all feel? we're quick to hand out judgment. Remember, we want justice, right? But we really need mercy. We need justice and mercy. We all fall short of the glory of God, and we should be careful to call out for quick judgment. But here he is. Will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde, and this is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I love that last statement, but our eyes are on you. You ever felt that way? I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. In other words, I'm going to hold on to you. He's leading with conviction. He prays with purpose. Thirdly, he admits weakness. He admits weakness, his weaknesses. I think one of the things that it's hard to do for a leader is to tell people you don't know what to do. It's very difficult to say, I don't know how to handle this. I need help. We need to pray. We need to go to God. And then I need other people to help me figure this out and pray that God would give us wisdom. I've called up pastors who are bigger churches. When I was asked about leadership development, I'd never really talked about leadership development. I'd never heard anything about leadership development. I called other pastors and said, I don't know what I'm doing. They want a leadership development. Do you have anything in place? And the guy helped me. That's what you got when you got me 10, 11 years ago. Sorry. I don't know what I'm doing. So I thought, I better go out and find it. And one of the things that I found out from other pastors who are in big settings in larger churches, the first thing they'll tell you is to keep calling, to bug them to death, to ask questions when you don't know the answers. Why? Because it helps you grow as a pastor. It helps you grow as a person. And if you don't know what you're doing, don't just do something just because you think you ought to do something. And here he's saying, we don't know what to do. Will you not execute judgment? We are powerless. That's against what the world is saying right now. That goes against every self-help book. We know what to do. We know how. Just do it. We are powerless. That is opposite, 180 degrees, the different direction than any self-help book or any thing that's out there right now to tell you how to act in leadership. And here's the king. I don't know what to do. We're powerless. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Okay. So he does this. He's seeking the Lord. He's setting the tone. He's setting the example. He's leading by the example, but with conviction. And he's praying with purpose. And he's admitting his weakness. But he's also saying, we're not going to take our eyes off of you, God, in the midst of trouble. Isn't that where we got to keep our eyes when we're having troubles knocking on our door? So here we go. What does he do? He's listening to the Spirit of the Lord. He's cried out to God. And then look what it says after verse 12 and verse 13. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. I find that amazing. In verse 13, he's saying that everybody is coming out to church today. They all came because they're all afraid and they want to hear from the Lord and they're waiting to hear from God. It says, what I find interesting, it says their little ones, their wives, and their children. So apparently the infants were there. The infants probably are the little ones. They're all there. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, listen, all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, king of Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde. God recognizes this is a great horde. This is a big problem. I got this. You guys remember that from last week. I got this. God's got this. He's got this. For the battle is not yours, but God's. I find it interesting because he says to them, stand firm and hold your positions. Present yourselves. Tomorrow, he says, go against them in verse 18. Tomorrow, go down. Sleep tonight, but go down tomorrow and face them. You ever had a big problem, big trouble? You ever tried to sleep through the night? You're usually trying to work it out in the middle of the night, you know? At least me, that's me. But he says, stand firm, hold your positions. In other words, you've got to be a participant here. I'm going to take care of this. The battle is not yours, but you've got to participate. I would rather stay home, God. I don't want to. What's tomorrow? What about today? The timing seems off. He says, tomorrow, go out and face them. So you have to stand firm, he tells them. Hold your positions and present yourselves. And tomorrow, go out and face them. Go out against them, he says. But the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. Now, verse 16, he says, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. I like that. I don't like to fight. I don't want to go through these things. I don't like it when trouble comes knocking at my door. Stand, he says, firm and hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord. So here's what God wants to do. He wants us to see his salvation. He wants the people to go through the trouble, to have the circumstances come to them, but he's going to fight it. Now, I would rather God not bring any circumstances like this to me. And I'm afraid to say what I'm going to say to you. I would rather trials not come to me. But how is our faith growing? It's by trials. Our faith, we get stronger when God tests us. I don't like that. I would rather not to have the battle. I would rather appease. And that's where most of us are today. We'd rather appease. We'd rather not have to deal with the trouble. But God says, no, you've got to show up. Tomorrow you're going to stand firm. You're going to take your positions, and you're going to hold your positions, and you're going to present yourselves. You're going to be in front of the army. You're going to be, tomorrow, go out and face them and participate by faith. That I've got this. And he even repeats it. In verse 17, he says, tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you. And then Jehoshaphat, in verse 18, bows his head and gives thanks. He gives thanks to God. Now here's what I want you to see. In verse 19, it says, and the Levites of the Kohathites and the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord for the God of Israel with a very loud voice. So, here's the people all bowing with Jehoshaphat, and they're bowing and giving thanks to what God has just said. Now, how would you feel if the doctor prescribed this to you? God says to them, you are going to face this, but the battle is mine, but you still got to show up, and tomorrow you're going to go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. So you've got to have faith that I'm going to show up. You got to trust me through this trial. And then they gave thanks. Notice they gave thanks. They bowed their heads. The king is bowing his head. He's getting down, and he's amongst the assembly. And all the little children are there, and the husbands and wives, and the whole family of God is there in Judah and Jerusalem. And they're all sitting there, and they're all giving thanks to the Lord. But who is standing up? It says, and the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They've been doing this since the time of David. They have been appointed to be the choir of God. And the choir of God gets up in verse 19 and begins to praise God. It says that they did it with a very loud voice. And they're not done yet. In verse 20, it says, and they rose up early in the morning. So this is the next day. And they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out to Jehoshaphat, stood and said, hear me, Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord and your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. And then verse 21, and when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. As they went before the Lord, and they said, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. How many times have you sung that? Give thanks to the Lord, for he, how is it? Becky's laughing at me. I can't remember a lyric to save my life. I've just learned happy birthday to the completion. But I still can't keep the rhythm of it. I'd be a terrible, you would not want to depend on me in the choir, right? I'm not called. But some people, anybody know the verse, give thanks to the Lord? Yeah. Well, it's right there, isn't it, in the Bible. That came from Scripture, didn't it? And it came from here. Now, what I want you to see is that in verse 22, it says, and when they began to sing praise to the Lord, the Lord set up an ambush against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. The Lord threw the army into confusion at the praise of his people. So when we come together for this hour, with all the things that are going on, there's probably a vast army of problems here that are just outside the door waiting for us to face. How important is it for us to pay attention to the Word of God? Prayer and praise, Adrian Rogers says, are the two wings of spiritual power. I was reading John Piper, and he talked about a book that he had read that is called Dick Eastman's book, The Hour That Changes the World. You may recall, he says, Mary Schlosser, who worked in China for many years, she used to say, I sing the doxology and dismiss the devil. And Amy Carmichael said, I believe truly that Satan cannot endure it and so slips out the room more or less when there is a true song. So when we come together, it's not just about singing a few songs to God, and that's what you do in church. You know, how often did I think that we're just singing songs? We're singing Scripture. And God called for this, for the singers to come and be appointed. And they're the ones that were out in front of the army. If you look at this picture, that God wants us to understand what's going on here is that the word and the worship is important, and the prayers of his people are coveted. We need to learn to set the tongue and seek the Lord, to lead with conviction and pray with purpose, admit our weaknesses, and listen to the Spirit of the Lord, and give thanks for his steadfast love endures forever. That's how we find strength when fear comes knocking at the door. The battle is the Lord's. It is not yours. And maybe you're facing something right now. Maybe, though, what God wants you to see is his salvation, how he's going to work it out, and that we need to trust that. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you now, there's so many things that are going on here. Let us be like Jehoshaphat. Let us set the tone and seek your face, to set our face to seek you, Lord, in the place that you have provided here for us this day, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to give thanks to you, for your steadfast love endures forever. And Father, as we think about all that you've said to the people, that you said, do not be afraid or do not be dismayed, that our focus is on the vast army, Lord. Help us not to be afraid of the vast army of problems that we have. Give us strength, Lord. And Lord, help us to go out and face our problems now, knowing that you're with us. To know that you are a part of us, that you know what's going on in our life, that you recognize and hear the vast horde of problems. You recognize the vast horde that was outside their door. And you said, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. And Lord, help us to hold fast. So much is done when we hold fast. We don't have to do anything. We just need to stand firm here. And we need to present ourselves. And we're here in front of you now. And I ask, Lord, now, as we stand in front of you, you've got these people sitting and bowing their heads, just like Jehoshaphat, just like all the people of Judah and Jerusalem that were bowed before you. The infants, the little ones are here, and their wives and husbands. Lord, help us to believe. Help us to trust. Believe in you, Lord, that we will be established, and that we would believe the Word of God and that you would give us victory. And Lord, help us to sing this last song to you, that you would throw the problems and the great army of problems that are out there, that the enemy is out there, Lord. We pray that you would throw them into confusion and that you would give us the victory. Lord, I pray for each one here who's having a hard time holding on. I pray that you would strengthen us and help us to hold on to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Lord, would you bless us? And today, for those that are remembering lost loved ones, those who stepped up in the face of the battle and went into the buildings as opposed to going away from them, that you would help those families today, those children that have grown up without a father or mother. We pray for them. We lift up those who have lost loved ones here, that we would stand firm. And tomorrow, Lord, help us to get up and go face whatever's against us in faith. And you will be with us. And we give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise and sing.